And now, a public service announcement from your host, Nate Nelson.
Recently, it has come to my attention that some members believe me and Frosty are what we call haters, and various members of other communities have begun calling us haters. Well, I'm posting this to say that these claims are absolutely false, and we are not haters at all. We are brutally honest. It seems that it bothers some gamers who would like to spend their hard-earned cash on bad games. Mine and Frosty's job on this podcast in particular is to tell you the news in the gaming industry and help you make the best choice when it comes to buying the best games. We have recently been called haters by another community, which I will not name here. That other community will tell you every game is sunshine and rainbows and refuses to call out any flaws of games. They believe that every game is great. And I'm here to tell you, sadly, that's not the world we live in. The world we live in is there's garbage and trash and filth in the gaming world. Stuff that is too short or has bad gameplay or just isn't fun. We are brutally honest to every game to make sure that our fans and our listeners get the best game possible with their money. We want to make sure that no one ever pays full price for trash and feels bad about it again. We are here to play games so you don't have to and inform you of what's going on with DLC and future releases. Being brutally honest isn't always easy. There's always that game we overhyped or that game that just wasn't what we expected. Being brutally honest is saving our listeners from those games so that they can enjoy the free time they have playing good games and not hot garbage. Next time that this other community, which I will still not name here, decides to call us haters, read up on what game we called trash and maybe, just maybe, you will see that the game scored poorly, or just didn't live up to the hype that it's been given, or it's just a bad game. And maybe, just maybe, your friends at the good, the bad, and the microtransactions are trying to help you. We love you guys. One final note. We will never, and I mean never, condone playing a bad game only for trophies. Now, on with the show.
This has been a public service announcement with your host, Nate Nelson.
Welcome to the good, the bad, and the microtransactions, episode 7! We're here once again. It's almost Christmas. My name is Nate. With me here is Frosty.
How's it going, everybody?
They would say it's going great.
I hope so.
I hope it is. It's finally the season where games don't come out and you get to play games. You know, I think a lot of people wait for this time so they buy all these games and they're like, well, finally I get to play through my games that I bought.
I don't know, man. We still got a lot of games coming out in January and February.
I'm trying not to think about it because there's only one game I really want, and that's Gravity Rush 2. And I don't think I'm going to buy that at launch because I want to finish Final Fantasy.
So you don't want Horizon Zero Dawn. Gotcha.
It's in February.
That's what I'm saying. January.
It's the end of February, though.
Yeah. See, for me, it's Gravity Rush. It's Horizon. It's Tekken 7. I don't know. If assuming Tekken 7 is still coming out around that time. So I'm pretty excited. There's a lot of good games out, a lot of good games coming out. 2017 is going to be a huge year, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think there's some really cool stuff coming out. I have played a few games that are coming out in 2017, thanks to a studio that's actually close by me that I've gone and did some playtests. So I know some of the stuff that's coming out. There's some cool stuff coming out. I think it's going to be a good year. But we're not at the end of this year yet, so let's finish off this year strong. This is our last week of news and such before next week we get to you our game of the year, our long game of the year special where we discuss and pick our picks for all the game of the year. Hopefully you're still been voting on our website, on our Facebook, which we have posted. The pin post is the poll you can go on and vote for who you think should win our Game of the Year topics. And the topics were all chosen by us, obviously, so you have to vote on our choices and topics and stuff. But, hey, we'd love to hear what you guys have to say. Those results will be posted up on January 1st on the Facebook. But
Yeah, these just aren't our choices either. This is as voted for the per the community as well. So there's also a few extra categories in there, like worst character introduced in 2016, most disappointing game in 2016, all that jazz. So be sure you got to vote, and we'll post the results soon. So
well, let's get into what you've been playing. I've been playing Final Fantasy 15 still. That game's really good. It's kind of crazy to think that in the last 2 weeks we've gotten two of the games that have been like the most hyped for the last few years. And I actually took a break from playing one to play the other. I got The Last Guardian from Gamefly. But I'm pretty far in Final Fantasy. I just got to, I think, Chapter 11. And one weird thing without any spoilers, at Chapter 9, that game basically becomes linear, which is sort of bizarre. Just to let you guys know, if you're planning on playing Final Fantasy at Chapter 9, it becomes linear, and it's kind of different, but it's really cool. They do some really cool little set-piece stuff with that. But I'm taking a break to play through The Last Guardian. I've been playing through The Last Guardian, and honestly, one thing about The Last Guardian is there's just no game like it, really. You know, it's it kind of feels like a little anime show in a game. My only problem is, like, I don't know if it's because of the fact that the game is old, or because of the fact that they wanted to make the dog feel like, oh, he sometimes does what he wants to do, but I have this problem sometimes where I'll tell the dog to do something, and he won't do it, which pisses me the fuck off. And that's been, like, my one problem with that game, because, like, randomly sometimes it just won't do it, and that's when I get angry and I turn the game off.
That sounds like my real dog.
Yeah, exactly. But that game is really cool. It does some really interesting stuff. It's beautiful. The puzzles are fun. After all these years, it's crazy. Both games came out and they were actually good. The reviews for Last Guardian were pretty good, and so were the Final Fantasy ones. So I'll probably finish that before next week. Obviously, we'll talk a little bit about what we've been playing before we get into those Game of the Year topics. But I'm hoping to have that finished soon. I'm hoping to get finished Final Fantasy. I also took advantage of the Holiday Week 1 sale, picked up Oceanhorn, which is a Zelda ripoff through and through. A pretty good one at that. And then I also picked up Crypt of the Necrodancer, which I am really terrible at, but it's actually a pretty cool roguelike. Plays some good music, and it's interesting. It's hard to explain what it is. I'd say it's like $4 on the PlayStation Store, or it was during the sale. I'd tell some people to pick up. It's just like, it's basically, there's a beat, and you have to keep at the beat as you move around the map, and you also attack with the beat to do more damage. It's sort of weird, but it's basically a roguelike kind of, like almost like a hack and slash kind of game. I don't know, it's hard to describe what exactly it is, but I'm playing that. But I'm about to finish Oceanhorn here. Hopefully, I'll have it finished today or tomorrow. But those are the three main games I've been playing. Obviously, I play a little bit of Titanfall every now and then, a little bit of Battlefield 1, a little bit of Killing Floor. But my main backlog right now is Oceanhorn, Last Guardian, and Final Fantasy. Hoping I get Dead Rising for Christmas. That's one I really want to play, just because I like the idea of those games. The fact that this one doesn't have a timer sounds really cool to me. But yeah. That's what I've been playing.
Yeah, I was gonna say I first heard about Oceanhorn on PS I Love You because, you know, I'd heard it was like a Zelda ripoff, and I finally got around to watching some, like, you know, videos on YouTube and like trailers and stuff, and that game looks so much like Zelda it hurts. Like, the game starts off, your father's traveling in a thunderstorm at night to go adventure, to go do something, and you're sleeping, just like in the beginning of Link to the Past. You get like a little flute or something, like you would in Ocarina. You get a sailboat, like you would in Wind Waker. There's just so many stolen Zelda assets in that game from the looks of it. But the game looks neat. I mean, I'd be willing to check it out, you know. I meant to pick it up when it was on sale. I just never got around to it. I'm kind of refraining from buying games at this moment, just so I can clear some of this backlog. Speaking of backlog, Ratchet & Clank. I bought it at on Black Friday. Great game. I'm loving it. I think I'm close to the end. I can't remember the name of the planet I'm on now. But I just helped the Rangers out on their home base. They were getting attacked or something, and I flew to their home base to help them out or whatever. I don't know the name of the planet, but the game's great. I'm enjoying it a lot. I'm looking forward to beating it. This may be one of those games I go back and get the Platinum Trophy for, just because...
Keep in mind, you have to finish it 3 times to get that Platinum.
Really?
Yeah, I tried to do it. It's not worth 3 times. I finished it twice, but not 3.
It's a fun game, but I don't know if I'll be able to go back and do that right now. That'll probably be, you know, if I go through like a dry spill of purchasing games, I'll probably just be like, you know, what can I Platinum? Oh, I'll play Ratchet and Clank again and try to get the Platinum. But at this moment, you know, there's just so many games I have, so many games coming out, you know, like I'm getting Final Fantasy 15 soon. That's probably going to consume me. We got Horizon coming out in February. Dishonored 2's out. I'm thinking about checking it out, but I have Dishonored I need to beat, right? I don't know. There's so many games. So, but as of right now, I'm still playing Ratchet. I started playing Street Fighter V again. I haven't played it in a few months. I'm taking a break just because I've been trying to clear some of my backlog and play some good single player experiences. Plus, I haven't really had an incentive to play Street Fighter because the monthly fight night that I usually go to, we've been kind of taking a break for the holidays. But we're probably going to pick back up in January.
Maybe we should just play Marvel vs. Capcom 3 instead.
Yes. Which we'll talk about in our news. I'm pretty excited about that. If you're listening, we greatly appreciate it. Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom is on the PSN right now. You can buy it digitally for $25. And there is an exclusive GameStop physical release that's coming out. That is available for the Xbox One and PS4.
It's not till like March.
Yeah, I really want to get it and start playing it. But at the same time, I really want a physical copy. But I was talking to Daryl at Remember the Loot. Shout out. I was talking to him on Twitch stream, twitch.tv/provengamer. Go follow us. We're thinking about getting Marvel vs. Capcom 3 and having a community game night. So if that's something that would interest y'all, email us at gbm@provengamer. Hit us up on Twitter at gbmpodcast or our Facebook group, whichever. And let us know if you want in on that. And we'll purchase the game. We'll have a community game night. Because that's something we've been talking about for a while. I haven't done one yet.
Yeah, we don't play garbage games like Call of Duty Ghosts on our game nights.
Shots fired. Literally and figuratively. Because, you know, they have guns in that game. Anyway, but that's about it, man.
Okay.
Ratchet and Street Fighter.
Keep clearing that backlog. There's a lot of stuff, you know.
I'm trying, man. And I mean, the only reason I got back into Street Fighter is because Akuma got announced, and I've been watching, you know, gameplay footage of them. Mostly people recording footage on their phones at PAX, or excuse me, PSX. So I'm back on that Street Fighter hype train. It's such a good game, man, and I'm really excited to use Akuma again. So
I always sucked at as Akuma just because he's so technical.
Technical.
Yeah, because he has no health, but he does a lot of damage, so it's like you got to balance that out. That was always my problem.
Well, he's going to be the same way in this game. So.
Of course, yeah. That's why I suck at Street Fighter.
Well, the thing about this game, though, is most of the characters are balanced. You know, like, you know, Cammy has a very low health threshold, but she does a lot of damage, and she has great reach, and she's very fast, and a lot of her moves that she does sets her up for, you know, frame traps and combos pretty well, which is why, you know, a lot, whenever you have a really experienced player, they'll use someone like Cammy or Chun-Li. It'd be really good with her. Those are like really hard characters to use, in my opinion.
Chun-Li does so much fucking damage.
She does. She's really fast, and she has so many weapons. Like, she has like 3 different anti-airs.
yeah. So, but without getting too technical with those game with that game, just because you could talk about it for hours. I'm sure anyone could.
I can talk about Street Fighter. Yeah, I can talk about Street Fighter all day.
Yeah, it's a great game. But let's get into some bad news first. I decided we're doing bad news. First, Nintendo's upcoming mobile game, Super Mario Run, requires an internet connection to play at all times, ruling out playing it on many modes of transport. Shigeru Miyamoto explained the decision was made for security reasons, helping Nintendo combat the risk of piracy. All 3 of the game's modes, Toad Rally, Kingdom Builder, and the single-player World Tour campaign, will require an active connection to access. It's also worth noting that it has already been confirmed that Super Mario Run will not be coming to the Nintendo Switch. It also costs $10. This game's weird. It's so weird that they're making an iOS Mario game, and you're not going to be able to play it like in like a plane or any of that stuff. Like, just it seems weird to me to... Why make a mobile game that you can't play wherever? That's the point of a mobile game.
Yeah, like, have fun playing this game on your couch while you're watching a movie or something. or while your wife's talking to you or something. I don't know. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. You know, when this game was announced, I was really excited, and I was actually willing to dish out $10 to pay for this game to, one, support Nintendo, and to, two, support a good mobile game, and to believe we can have good mobile games.
Man, I couldn't even do that because I don't have iPhone.
Well, yeah. Well, I do. But, you know, like, I was willing to believe in this, and, like, the game looks neat. It's Mario. Mario on your phone. You know, and that's the thing, though, that I've heard a lot about, you know, about, like, curation in the mobile market. Like, there's over, like, 650,000 different mobile games. And what, like, six of them are any good?
Yeah.
Maybe? You know, like, mobile games are usually trash.
I really don't like any mobile games. I've played a lot of them, and I've never found one that I'm just like, wow, this is great!
Well, there's a few coming out that are really good. Or look good, excuse me. Like, Final Fantasy has a mobile game within Final Fantasy 15, and it looks really cool. It's like this top-down adventure-style RPG-ish kind of game. You know, you pick your character, and there's like this huge roster of characters you can pick. You know, you got your usual knight, mage, cleric, and all this stuff, thief. Then you have all these really cool classes you can choose from, and you just adventure, and it's like this like side-scrolling RPG-style game. And it looks really fun. So yeah, $10 for that, you know, would be worth it. There's like some RPGs coming out that look pretty decent.
Once they make that Animal Crossing game, Animal Crossing on phones, that's what I'm all in on a Nintendo mobile game, because Animal Crossing is literally the most fun.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, we want to believe in mobile games. We want to believe that our mobile device is a handheld device, right? And I know we've often argued this with other podcasts on the network, such as Trophy Whores. Shout out to Tricky Mick. You know, his belief is that your mobile device that you hold in your hand and it plays games on can be considered a handheld device. And I guess to an extent he's right. But to me, I'm like, it's hard for me to say that when you have the Vita and the 3DS with way better games, and they're dedicated handheld gaming devices, whereas your phone isn't. Like, you make phone calls or text with your phone. You don't just use it for games.
The problem is, because of that thing, the Vita didn't sell well because, you know, they didn't really develop games for it. You know, I think one thing that Vita should have done better is maybe develop, like, better mobile games for it, not just, like, trying to create console experiences on it, you know? Like, the thing about the Vita, the reason I don't have one is because it's a very JRPG-friendly device, and I don't really care much for JRPGs, but if it had more, like, fun mobile-type games, like, you know, like, maybe they should have launched Lara Croft Go on it or something like that. Like, I don't know. There was just nothing on it that really interests me. Like, I loved Killzone Mercenary, and I loved Uncharted Golden Abyss, but I'm not going to go out of my way to play those games. Like, buy a Vita for those games.
Not to mention, you know, There's something about playing a handheld where, like, it's just different playing a console. Like, you like, and I use the same, you know, same example with, like, console versus PC gaming. How, like, you can just kind of chill on your couch, kind of slouch down in a very comfortable position playing Hitman after work or something. Whereas PC gaming, like, you are behind your desk, sitting there erect with your mouse and keyboard, or control, depending on what you're playing. And then with your handheld, you know, like, there's just a certain way you have to hold it, you know, whether it be on airplane or toilet. And let's be honest, like, everyone plays their Vita on the toilet, right?
I did, before I sold mine. I don't know, like, I never really cared much for mobile games. Like, even on my phone, like, I always download a mobile game or two on my phone, but, like, there's nothing I really play. Like, the only game I think installed on my phone right now is Pineapple Pen. And Pineapple Pen is literally that stupid fucking song. And basically, you have a pen, and you have to get it in the middle of an apple, and the character goes, Apple Pen. And then you have a pen, and if you get in the middle of a pineapple, it goes, Pineapple Pen. And then you get a chance to shoot both pens in pineapple and an apple. And then if you get it, it goes, Pen, Pineapple, Apple Pen. And you get a double, or you get, like, a bonus. And then you just do it over and over again. And it's, like, a really stupid game. But it's something I would play on my phone when I'm bored. And that's what I feel mobile games should be, just, like, small little experiences to play when you're bored. And, I don't know, like, Vita never had anything that was like, oh, this is a small little experience I'm actually enjoying. Like, it was a lot of, you know, big experiences with a lot of time to them.
And I'm sure there's Vita fans listening right now screaming at us, hey, have you played Taco Master? Which, by the way, Taco Master was one of those experiences. That game was actually a lot of fun.
I never did play Taco Master.
But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. You know, and there's just something about it. You know, like, you know, Sony pushed for the Vita, and then, like, you know, all of a sudden they just kind of stopped supporting it. And we had PSX, where a lot of games were actually announced for the Vita. And I think it's great, you know. The Vita still lives, you know, even though it's, I guess, not that big here in America. Because, you know, like, Vita got them skins announced in Japan, right? Like, you could get, like, a white and red Vita and stuff. And fans are really excited, but you can only get them in Japan. And so, I don't know. I mean, yeah, Super Mario Run, it looks neat, but I just think it's weird that you can't play it with an internet connection. I don't see the point of that. I'm perplexed as to why they made that decision. I mean, I was reading where Miyamoto had stated that, you know, it, like, the single-player experience ultimately was connected to the internet at all times and didn't coincide with each other well. So they just said, you know what, we're just going to have to leave this internet only. We'll have to wait and see, I guess, see if the game's actually worth it when it releases. So.
Well, that's our only bad news. So that means we have a lot of good news. Let's take a break early. That way you can have all the good news for you. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of sucking at fighting games? Are you fed up with your friends for calling you a pussy for using a gamepad? Well, I've got good news for you, dickwad. Go to facebook.com/fightstickguy for custom handcrafted arcade-style fight sticks. Fight Stick Guy is locally owned and specializes in the very best handmade fight sticks. Everything on these babies are customizable, from the art panels on the front, back, and sides, and even the ball top itself. Don't be one of those people that buys those cheap plastic fight sticks the pros use.
Loser!
Fight Stick Guy guarantees satisfactory in all his work. But don't just take my word for it. Let's hear what other customers had to say.
Fight Stick Guy number one!
Fight Stick Guy is great. All his products work 100% of it. You're damn right they do. Again, that's facebook.com/fightstickguy because you don't bring a pad to a stick fight.
Hey, you know, Frosty, I really want a PSVR, but I'm, like, super lazy, and I don't want to leave my house, and I want it delivered to my house so I can sit around and play Battlefield 1 and not move, you know?
Well, I know exactly what you mean.
But, like, where do I go to get something like this? Like, where can I go? I don't want to go to Best Buy and walk in. I don't have them tell me, oh, you know, you should get this instead. I want to just buy what I want and have it shipped to my house. What should I do?
Tell you where you go, Nasty Nate. You go to ProvingGamer.com. You go to the Amazon link on the ProvingGamer.com. You click on it. And what you can do is you can do all your shopping through ProvingGamer.com. Now, this doesn't cost you any extra, but it does help the site out tremendously. Helps generate a few bucks to the site. Amazon kicks back a few dollars Proving Gamer's way and allows us to put out extra content for you guys, like podcasts, like this one.
Oh, like The Good, The Bad, and The Microtransactions. I really like that podcast. It's really interesting.
Eh, they're all right.
Man, I'm going to go to Amazon and buy everything now. Thanks, Frosty.
Anytime. All right, and we're back. Reminder, you are listening to The Good, The Bad, and The Microtransactions. We are a Proving Gamer podcast. Be sure you go to ProvingGamer.com and check us out for news, previews, and podcasts, including yours truly, Trophy Whore's flagship podcast, Remember the Loot, and their wrestling podcast, Smart Marks. You can follow me on Twitter at PG Frosty. You can follow Nate at Godly Fatality. And reminder, go to iTunes, leave us a review, and subscribe. If you leave us a review, we will read it on the show. We'd greatly appreciate it. So we're going to jump into some good news now. First bit of news, Square Enix has announced that 2017 will be the 30th anniversary for Final Fantasy. To celebrate this milestone, Square has announced its roadmap for the series by launching the following titles. Square will launch Final Fantasy VII Remake, the first episode in its newly announced episodic Final Fantasy, which I thought was interesting.
The combat in that is like Final Fantasy XV. I'll totally play it.
Yeah, looks awesome. And Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age, which is just a remastered version of XII, as main games to celebrate Final Fantasy's birthday. The Final Fantasy XIII trilogy is coming to PS4 as well during the next year. The bundle will include Final Fantasy XIII, XIII-2, and Lightning Returns, which I didn't like XIII at all, on separate discs to be enjoyed in 1080p and 60 frames per second. And this is the one that really excited me. It's also announced that the Final Fantasy Anniversary Collection is making its way to consoles and handhelds as well. The compilation will include Final Fantasy 1 through 9 and will be released on PS4 and PS Vita in a single disc / card. It will include two versions of Final Fantasy 1 to 6, the original versions of NES and SNES, and the modern ports, mostly mobile ports. Final Fantasy 7 to 9 will be based only in newest ports.
Interesting.
And Final Fantasy 2 and 3 from the NES will receive an official English translation for the first time.
Mm.
The collection will have a built-in art gallery and sound test menu to play songs from the games included. And also, I was looking up some like pre-order bonuses and stuff. And apparently, there's a lot of like cool stuff coming with it. Like you can get like posters and keychains and stuff. So, looks neat. As of now, you know, it's really just a leak. Like it got leaked that they were going to announce this stuff. So we're still kind of waiting on the official announcement, and we'll have to see and go from there. So I'm excited. I'll pick it up.
I think this is a little weird, just because of how different Final Fantasy 15 is than all the other Final Fantasies. So, like, releasing the old games, I don't know, like, obviously, you know, there's fans of that, obviously, you know, because,
or, yeah,
you know, they played it. But for, like, if they're trying to bring in other, like, those type of people back into the old Final Fantasy, I don't know, I don't understand that one, just because... like, I'm never gonna play one of those old Final Fantasy games again, because the reason I played 15 was because it played more like Kingdom Hearts.
Well, you won't play it, but there are a lot
of... Oh, no, I'm sure. No, I'm totally sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is a really cool collection to have. I can't imagine this thing being any less than $100. $120, maybe. I mean, that's just a lot of games. I mean, like, it's probably gonna come in a nice box set and stuff, which I'll be totally cool with. Even though it's claiming it's going to be on one disc, I don't see that at all. But I mean, then again, could be wrong. But it looks awesome. I mean, if this pans out to be true, I'm totally down. Depending on how much it's going to be and all, but it's cool. I'd like to revisit those games. I just beat 7, you know, because they re-released 7 on the PS4 on the PSN. I just beat it. I'd like to go back and finish 6. Because a lot of people say that 6 is probably one of the best ones, if not the best one. And I'd like to play 8 again. I haven't played that one in a long time. A lot of people aren't too fond of that one. But, you know, I'd be willing to go back and give it a shot.
Yeah, I'd ever want to play those old ones. But I'm very curious to see what this Final Fantasy VII remake will be like. It's actually pretty exciting that they're remaking, you know, the game that people basically are super hype on. And it's going to have the same combat as 15. Because I would totally want to play more games that have that kind of combat, because it's really fun. So, honestly, like, yeah. 15's probably my surprise of 2016, just because I really love it. And I didn't expect to when they first announced it. I was like, oh, another Final Fantasy game. And I'm glad I gave this one a chance to, you know, actually really enjoy it. It's really cool. And I actually think that the characters are really good. I think Noctis is actually a pretty cool character compared to, you know...
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't super hyped on it, I guess. I played the Platinum demo, and even though it was very short, I really loved the feel of it and the combat, and it was beautiful, and, you know, I loved the summon system. But then I started seeing, like, gameplay trailers and commercials for it, and I was like, this game looks awesome. And then reviews came out, and reviews were very positive, and, you know, I'm down, totally.
That was one of my problems with Final Fantasy, that was always, like, the characters were a little, like, kind of whiny bitches.
That's why I didn't like 13. I hated 13 for that. You know, a lot of people probably argue, well, what about this game and that game? Well, still, I mean, I couldn't get into 13 because of that. I hated the characters so much.
Yeah.
The game is beautiful. Like, the cutscenes. I remember the cutscenes in that game. I was like, wow, this is great looking. But the combat just, I don't know, the whole paradigm shift thing was okay, I guess. But the characters, most of all, was just kind of lame, in my opinion. And I think that's why a lot of people like 7, because the characters of 7 were actually really cool.
Yeah.
And it was just a very important game for Sony at that time.
Yeah, I played, I remember renting 10 when I first got a PS2, and I played it for a little bit, but then the combat system just became too monotonous, and I couldn't play it anymore. I was like, nah, I'm good. I don't really care what happens with these characters, and Tidus is kind of a bitch. And then I think I remember seeing that there was, like, a weird love scene between Tidus and Yuna, and I was like, okay, I'm, like, 16. I don't really want to see this in a video game.
I do. Just kidding.
moving on to the good news. I guess it's more good news for you. Dark Souls 3 could be making its way to the Nintendo Switch. Let's Play Video Games' Laura Dale, who's previously broken news on the Nintendo Switch's design as well as the rumored launch titles, reported that developer From Software has already gotten a version of Dark Souls 3 running on the Switch with a level of performance that they are happy with. The port has been in development for several months via a small team, according to the report. So, I mean, that's cool. I mean, you can either play it right now or wait and get a Nintendo Switch and play it, I guess.
Play it on the go. I put this in the notes for mostly one reason. Well, two reasons. One, I really like Nintendo and Dark Souls. And two, the fact that this game is playing on the Switch and it's performing well kind of gives me high hopes. Because Dark Souls is a gorgeous game, and it plays really well. I don't know, I've seen this report pop up a few times, and it really excites me, you know, because we've had this conversation, right, about Nintendo Switch's hardware. Can it hold up to today's gaming? Well, according to reports, no. But, you know, there's hope at least, right? Like, there's hope that it can at least put up a fighting chance and be able to put out games comparable to today's visuals and today's gameplay mechanics and stand a chance in this console war, right? Because I've always said that, you know, Nintendo can't come out here trying to combat the PS4 and Xbox One. They'll lose handedly. But if they come out here and they're innovative and they make games fun and they have something that fans can look at the Switch and be like, I'm getting a Switch for this particular reason. And we kind of have that now with Sony and the PS4, right? Like, we just had PSX, and they just released, like, the overall list of all the games, right, that were announced on PSX. There's so many good exclusives coming out. And we've had this argument, too. Like, Xbox Scorpio is coming out. Everyone's excited. Xbox fans are excited for that. I'm sorry, but Xbox's library is not going to be able to compete with PS4 next year. They're just not. Like, we're kicking off the year with Horizon Zero Dawn, and that's probably going to be nominated in multiple categories in the Video Game Awards next year.
Oh, I guarantee it.
So, yeah, Switch is, you know, I'm starting to see more reports on the Switch and the games that are running on it, and it's exciting me because I'm hyped for the Switch. I'm sold for the Switch, you know. If I can get my hands on the new Zelda, if I can get my hands on a new Mario, and maybe a few other exclusive ones, which we'll actually talk about later in the news. You know, I think it's gonna be great. It's gonna be great to be a gamer.
I think
next
the weird
year.
Thing about the Switch is it's totally a Nintendo console, and it's fine with that. But the problem is Nintendo consoles didn't make money last gen. What makes them think it's gonna make money this gen? And I just think it's too little, too late. Like, it's cool that they're doing this and they're making this new revolutionary thing, but the only reason people buy Nintendo consoles is for Nintendo games. Like, why waste time trying to get third party on there? Nobody's gonna be like, oh, you know, my main console, my Nintendo Switch. You know, it's PS4, Xbox One, and it's pretty obvious that PS4 is winning in every aspect of the gaming industry. You saw it last week at PSX. There's so many games coming, and the problem is Microsoft can't keep up. What makes you think that Switch is going to be able to keep up with the amazing lineup PlayStation has, you know?
Right. Topic number three. Despite recent reports, X-Men characters may be coming to Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite after all. According to a NeoGAF user, Rice, who has been known to accurately leak information in the past and recently reported on Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite's validity before the actual reveal, took to the forum to share more information about the upcoming title. Rice's post not only states that X-Men and Fantastic Four characters are going to be playable, but says with certainty that they will join Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite as DLC. So that's exciting, because, you know, I almost put this in our bad news section, but after reading into it, come to find out we might be getting it after all. X-Men characters have been a huge part of the Marvel vs. Capcom universe, so it's cool to see them making a comeback. I'm not sure how I feel about it being DLC, if that's true. I would rather them just be in the game. Even though, you know, they've already announced that this is going to be a platform, much like Street Fighter V, that they're going to build on. They're going to launch with a certain amount of characters, and then they're going to have seasons you can purchase, or you're probably going to be able to buy individual characters as you go, much like what I had to do with Street Fighter. Because, you know, as much as I love the game, I bought the special edition with the statue and all. So I already spent $90 on the game. But I didn't buy a season pass, so I had to. I ended up having to buy each character individually as they came out, which was like $6.
Why didn't you buy the season pass?
I have no idea. I'm so anti-season pass.
I'm too, but if you knew you were gonna buy them anyway.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, I don't know. One side of me knew I was gonna buy them anyway. But the other side of me was kind of like, I'll wait and see who gets announced. Because remember, at the time, we didn't even know who was coming out. It's like, buy the season pass to get all these characters. Well, who's it gonna be?
Well, they announced it, like, shortly after that they said that the season pass was coming. They, like, announced who were all the characters. You mean you kind of knew who you were getting. And then just like they did with this new season pass, they've already announced who all the characters are, haven't they?
No.
What?
No, they didn't do it with the first season either. No, they didn't, because like we were all, because all the forums and stuff and you know, all the Street Fighter fandom, we were guessing who it was going to be, you know, and then it would get announced like individually in a short burst. No, season two got announced, but it's kicking off with Akuma and all the rest of the characters. We don't know who's coming. Right now, it's all conjecture. Like they've announced that it's going to be Akuma and all new characters. Well, what's new? You know, like these characters from like Third Strike up, or like they've been,
or is it brand new characters like Juri was in Street Fighter 4? I think it'd be smart to maybe add some new characters to that game.
Right. Yeah, me too. I mean, I think it would be great. I'd be excited either way. I like how they're kicking it off with the classic character and then adding new characters possibly. I'm still kind of bummed that we're not going to see Sagat or other characters like that. Then again, we might. I mean, who knows? We don't know. I think right now they're just keeping it under wraps because they, you know, just keep players interested and keep them on the edge of their seat, and that's what really helps them sell the season pass and sells characters.
I don't know. I don't really like season passes for fighting games. Like, I'm not a huge fan. Like, one thing about fighting games, and I know this, like, neither of these takes are really right, but I kind of prefer where you buy a fighting game and then maybe they make like a new version, like a super that comes with more characters like a few years later. Because the thing is, like, I never liked how Mortal Kombat did it, where you'd buy the season pass and you get characters, and then Street Fighter started doing it and I liked it even less. Just because the thing is, like, then I feel like I don't have the full game if I don't have all the characters. So when my friends come over, it's like, oh yeah, there's more characters in this game. Sorry, we can't play them. You know, I'm just not a fan of that. I never really liked the idea of buying more characters for a fighting game, which could have the potential to be broken. So if I buy a character and I don't buy the other one, you know, he's super broken. Everyone comes over and uses him, and you know, different things like that. Like, I just don't. I don't like that idea. I don't like characters being downloadable and optional.
Yeah, well, that's all I was going to say, too, is, like, you know, like, if you have your community game nights, or you have, like, fight nights with your friends, and, like, let's say you have Street Fighter, we both have Street Fighter V, and I come over to your house to play it, and you don't have the season pass, well, like, then I can't use my character, right?
Yeah.
Like, character I've been using all week. I'm like, you know, I've been using Urien. Well, let's say I go to your house to play Street Fighter, and you don't have Urien, then it's like, okay, well, maybe I use Ken, but I don't really know Ken that well. I don't use Ken. I like Urien. I want to use Urien, but you don't have him.
That's the thing about like a fighting game. When you release it, you should have all the characters that you want to put in the game. You know, if it's not ready, don't release it. You know, that's the problem I have with games lately. And I understand the idea of, you know, adding more content to a game that's already out. But the thing is like, if a game is coming out, it should be a full product on there, and then you should develop stuff afterwards for it that, you know, people can pay for. But a character just seems like a weird thing to develop afterwards. You know, it's hard to explain, but buying characters just feels weird because that's the only way you can do DLC for a fighting game. So,
yeah,
you know, it's a weird thing to think about no matter what.
Yeah, it'd be different if it was like, you know, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite is coming out with 30 characters. And then 6 months later, we're going to release 6 to 8 more as a DLC.
Call it Marvel's Capcom Infinite, you know, Super Infinite.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be different. But the thing is, you know, this is the thing that worries me. Is because, like, you know, Street Fighter V came out, it had 16 launch characters. Granted, when it's all said and done, we're going to have, like, if they keep building this quote-unquote platform until the inevitable Street Fighter VI comes out, if it ever comes out. Because this is a platform. They're gonna,
you know, it has the best fighting mechanics out of any fighting game on the planet, so it's the perfect game to make at a platform. But I don't know. Like, I understand, you know, it's either this or you do the Super or Ultimate Street Fighter, all that shit. And I don't know which one I like more. I really don't like either one, but I understand where they're coming from. It's just I don't know. I've never bought a season pass for a game. My friend bought it for Mortal Kombat, and it just seemed like a waste of money to me.
Yeah, well, MVC has, that's the thing though, MVC has a lot of characters, like, off the bat. If you remember, MVC 2 had 75 characters, and not a single DLC. Like, you walked up to the arcade, you put your quarter in, you had 75 characters to choose from. When the game launched on consoles, you had 75 characters, you didn't have to worry about DLCs. And the thing that worries me with Infinite is that I feel like they're going to...
Infinite's going to be a smaller game. I promise you Infinite will be a smaller game just because the thing modern day balancing is so much harder than it was back then because people try to exploit every little thing they can.
Which, you know, now you try to do that in games, you get buffed or nerfed.
Yeah.
It happens. We actually have some coming out, some buffs and nerfs coming out for Street Fighter the 20th. Whenever Hakuma launches. So be sure you go check that out. I think you can find the list on shoryuken.com. There's a bunch of characters getting nerfed and buffed, which I'm really excited for. Urien's finally getting a crossover. I don't know why he never had a crossover, but like I said, I digress. I can talk about Street Fighter all day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, X-Men characters might be coming to MVC Infinite. So hopefully that is true. Fingers crossed. And hopefully they don't have to come as DLC. That would be lame. But like I said, I feel like they're going to do that because if they do that and they say, hey, look, we got this season one's coming out. You're going to get Wolverine. You're going to get Magneto. You're going to get all these core characters that people storm. You're going to get all these core X-Men characters that people always use in tournaments. Of course, people are going to dish out $30 for season pass. Of course.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. It's just, I don't know. I still don't like it. But I guess it doesn't matter if I like it, you know?
Right. Will Plunkett on our Facebook group asks, what are your top 5 most wanted Marvel, including X-Men, and or Capcom characters you would like to see in Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite?
The Guardians. The Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I want the Guardians.
The Raccoon is in the third
one. But I want Groot, I want Star-Lord, I want Gamora, and I want Drax.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange. That's cool. Doctor Strange.
Yeah, Doctor Strange would be cool.
Doctor Strange would be a really interesting character.
Yeah. Yeah,
those are like the Marvel characters I can think of I really want from like the cinematic universe because we already know Captain America. We already know the Avengers are going to be there. I like Ant-Man too, and I think you could make a really fun Ant-Man. But obviously, like, I'm not the guy to figure that one out. But I think Ant-Man would be a cool character to have in a game like that.
Yeah, definitely.
I like that this is the Marvel Cinematic Universe because, you know, we don't have to do... Because the thing about... I love Marvel's Capcom too, but there's some obscure-ass people in that game. On the Marvel side, so the thing about this is it's not good. There's not going to be as many obscure people. It's going to be people all the people you know from the movies most likely, because it's the first you saw Ms. Marvel was in it, but Ms. Marvel's getting her own movie, so it makes sense.
Which I thought was really cool. She was my favorite character to use in Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2.
Oh really? That game was fun. I remember that. That Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 was so much shorter than Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1, which is my big problem.
Yeah, that's a good game. I said Bass, which he made his debut in Mega Man 7. He was created by Dr. Wily to imitate and even eventually surpass Mega Man's design. He's like his head looks kind of like those robot bats. If you remember the bats from Mega Man, they hang on the ceiling and they fly down.
Mm.
His head looks kind of like that, but he's got like Mega
Man's
body.
Oh, yeah, Bass. Yeah, I know that is.
Yeah. Mr. Sinister from X-Men, I think would be a fantastic addition to that game. He's got like telekinesis and telepathy. He can like morph his body to like be impervious to pain. He can shapeshift and stuff. He was always really cool. I remember the Apocalypse cartoons of X-Men where like him and Cyclops threw down and Cyclops was like shooting him with lasers and he was just like morphing his body and dodging lasers and stuff. It was really cool. I would like to see any of the Street Fighter V characters from the current roster. So like Urien, Lara.
Oh God, Lara. Laura's like, you know, the thing about Laura is she's so interesting. She's a cool character, but I don't think there's ever been a character that shows as much cleavage as Laura in a Street Fighter game.
That is that's one of my biggest complaints about that game is like, you know, Laura as a character, Laura's really cool, but I feel like she really gets the shaft when it comes to like costumes because her costumes suck. It's like, oh, we got an alternate costume for Laura. What are we going to do? Oh, let's put her in a nightgown.
Here's some boobs.
Let's show her. Here's some boobs for you. Like, no. Like, give her, like, some cut-off, cut-up jeans, some Converses, and, like, a Brazilian soccer jersey or something. You know? Like, give her something cool. Like,
no, she's the boob character.
No, just show her boobs. Exploit her for what she is. And the thing is, she's not like even in the story mode, like, her character is not really, like, overly sexualized, I guess. Like, she's just, like, this mean, rough, tough chick who likes to just kick boobs.
But that's the thing, is, like, characters like that are created because, you know, guys want to play as the woman with the big boobs. That's why Dead or Alive exists, you know? I always feel dirty when I play as Laura just because it's like, oh my God. Like, this character is so ridiculous.
Yeah. Makes no sense. But yeah, I'd like to see them in the game. Maybe eventually introduce a new character from MVC Infinite who will be playable in Street Fighter V via DLC and vice versa, much like they are doing with Akuma and Tekken, the Tekken Street Fighter V crossover.
I'm actually pretty excited about that. That sounds really cool. I like Tekken. Tekken's a really cool game.
Yeah. And these are kind of cheating for me because I just recently watched The Daredevil on Netflix, which was fantastic, by the way. If anyone's listening hasn't seen it, go to Netflix, watch Daredevil season 1 and 2. We have a third season coming in 2018, and The Punisher is getting his own season and is filming. They're actually filming for it right now. It is fantastic, but I would really like to see The Punisher and Daredevil in there. I think The Punisher especially would be great. He'd be like this. Just brutal brawler, you know. You could use like your specials could be like, you know, pull out some machine guns and blast your enemies. I think that would be fantastic. I'd like to see that. So
yeah, that'd be really cool. I actually, that show is really interesting just because it kind of shows the Daredevil and the Punisher in like a different light that you don't normally see. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
the hero and anti-hero. I like it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, topic number 4. Looks like we have a new Nintendo Switch game announced, not named Zelda or Mario. Season of Heaven announced as a Nintendo Switch exclusive. This game joins the shortlist of announced games for Nintendo Switch as indie French developer InnieArts production has unveiled Season of Heaven. The game is being made in Unreal Engine 4, according to a French website game blog, and is based on the French novel of the same name written by Nico Augusto. The story follows a small group of survivors as they try to survive in a post-apocalyptic barren world where a bulk of humanity has already died. Why does that sound familiar? Sounds like that PlayStation game I played one time. this game looks neat. It looks neat. I saw like a screenshot of the, it was like a little boy with a backpack and it was a little dog. I really hope the dog is a playable character, like Clank, Ratchet and Clank. I gotta be honest, the artwork looked very Last of Us. But I'm excited either way because it's a new exclusive. Not named Zelda or Mario.
Yeah.
Kind of like Splatoon. Splatoon just kind of came out of nowhere and was a great game. People really liked it. And, you know, that's what Nintendo needs. Nintendo needs exclusives that is good. You know, like the Wii. Like, people always rave about the Wii U and all those exclusives they had. Well, a lot of those exclusives weren't good. I mean, just being honest. Like, the Yoshi Woolly World looked like crap.
I mean, some people liked it. I never played it, but I don't really care much for a Yoshi game.
Okay, Yoshi's Island on the Super Nintendo was fantastic. It was like a direct sequel.
Yeah.
It was actually a prequel, but it was a direct sequel to Super Mario World. That game was actually, in my opinion, better than Super Mario World.
It was a very tough game. It looked like a kid's game, but it was tougher than nails.
It's fantastic. It was such a good game. They haven't made another Yoshi game like it. Like the next Yoshi's Island game they would make after that was on 64, and it was hot garbage. It's not good at all. But I'm excited for this new Switch exclusive. You know, they have more stuff like this. You know, then Nintendo might actually have people believing in Switch, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I don't know. Like, there's some stuff I'm seeing about the Switch. Like, I guess it was on Conan this week, and it seems cool and all, but I don't know. I just don't see the point of this thing when I have a PlayStation and an Xbox, unless I really, really, really want to play a Mario game. And I love Mario games, but, like, after you finish them, they're over, and, like, what's the point of owning this thing when there's no other games to come out? Like, if they do, they need a Mario Kart, they need a Smash Bros., they need a Mario, they have a Zelda. I mean, I don't know, I miss some of the stuff that was just kind of stupid fun. Like, I remember Mario Strikers Charge was really fun. It was like an arcade soccer game. Like, they don't do the really cool stuff. They do, like, the same shit with every console. And I like Splatoon, but it got old really quick. I don't know, like, there's just so much more I want Nintendo to do, and I know they won't do it.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing with me is, like, you know, and a lot of people I've talked to, even in my, you know, inner circle, like, people who own Nintendo devices, whether they be the Wii U or the 3DS, always have like a primary device. Like, I know a lot of my close friends who are huge Nintendo fans own PCs. They're PC gamers. They own 3DSs and Wii U's as kind of like secondaries. And I was that way. You know, I had a PS4, had a Wii U for a secondary, and then it collected dust just because, you know, there's so many good PS4 games coming out at the time. I remember trading my Wii U and all my games and getting credit at GameStop, and I ended up getting like GTA 5 and The Witcher 3 and Bloodborne and a bunch of like some of my favorite games in 2015 that I played. So it was definitely worth it because, you know, I had Smash and I had Wind Waker HD Remaster and Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, which was a good game. I didn't really get into it that much, but it was tough, you know, it was Donkey Kong Country. But it just collected dust, you know. And so for me, you know, I'm heavily invested in my PS4 and I want a secondary console because, you know, I don't own a Vita, I don't own an Xbox, I don't own a gaming PC. So I think the Switch would be great for me because it would not only essentially become my secondary console, but it would also be a handheld console as well, being portable and all, and being able to play Breath of the Wild on the go on my lunch breaks. I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's exciting to me, and I'm sure it's exciting to a lot of Nintendo fans.
Yeah, I gotcha. I understand. I mean, Nintendo seems like they're always behind the curve, and it still feels like they're that way.
Well, they are. Like, I agree with you completely.
Well, the streak is over. PlayStation 4 was the top-selling console for November, taking back the spot from its rival console, the Xbox One. Up until November, Xbox One was the top-selling console for the U.S. for 4 straight months, something the company credited to the launch of its revised Xbox One S console. Worldwide since release, the PS4 has now sold 50 million consoles. Holy shit, 50 million. That's insane. Like, if you would have told me that Sony would have won this console race this bad, this fast, I would have called you crazy just because how bad the PS3 was at sometimes, even though I love my PS3. But it's amazing what Sony's done with the PlayStation 4. You know, you still have people who love Xbox, and I have an Xbox, and I really like my Xbox, but I just don't play it near as much as I play my PlayStation 4. You know, it's crazy what Sony's done, and I hope they can continue this dominance, because, you know, if they continue dominance like this, we'll still get continue to get these amazing experiences. I mean, look at the next few years. There's like 4 or 5 brand new IPs coming out with Days Gone, Horizon. I can think of there's a few others. I just can't think of them on top of my head. It's like, there's a bunch of new IP games coming out. It's awesome. Like, to finally see some new stuff. Like, Microsoft's not doing that. There's no new IPs on except for, like, that Dragon Scale game from Platinum. It looks like garbage. You know?
Scalebound?
Scalebound. That's what it's called. I said Dragon
Scale. Looks bad. All well, yeah, same thing. All reports in that game, like, from what I've been reading and hearing, doesn't look good.
Yeah. Their only game that people are talking about Xbox is Crackdown. And Crackdown is just, you know, the same thing it was, you know, in the old days. Maybe it's a better game, and it looks like it's got a lot of cool destruction, but there's no game Xbox has. Maybe Sea of Thieves, I guess, but...
Now, I will say Xbox did have Ark Survival Evolved.
PlayStation just got that this week, actually.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. A lot of Xbox fans were raving about it, and now we have it on PlayStation.
And I won't be playing it, because it's one of those weird survival games. I don't know, I don't really care for those type of games, you know? But I've heard some people really love it. You know, the one thing about this is, like, do you think that maybe Microsoft won't have another streak until the Scorpio? Because, I mean, obviously the Scorpio is going to be their next big thing, and I still think the Scorpio is going to be incredibly overpriced. But, I mean, a lot of this streak being over, I'm sure, goes to the PS4 Pro. And, you know, a lot of people probably bought a PS4 Pro because it's a faster, more powerful PlayStation that plays your games better and is a lot quieter. And I think that's what a lot of people wanted.
Well, not only that, but we have titles. You know, I've always said that titles sells consoles. Like we just said, PSX. We have 40-plus games announced for PSX, all new IPs. Granted, a few of them might be remasters. But still, like, you got Horizon, Days Gone, Spider-Man, a new God of War, a fantastic-looking God of War. You got a bunch of exclusive indie games coming our way. Like, it's going to be a big year for PlayStation. I fear that Scorpio, I'm with you. I feel like Scorpio is going to be overpriced. And I feel like when it comes out, there's not going to be that game that everyone's talking about. It's not going to be Halo Wars 2. It's not going to be Scalebound. I could be wrong. Now, if you're listening and you're nerd raging right now, I'm sorry. We want to be wrong, though. We want Xbox to be successful. It's just we don't. It just in my eyes, in our opinion, we don't see progress from them other than we have this really powerful console coming. Now, granted, you know, next year they can announce some conference and drop a bomb and be like, look at all these games coming out. I hope that happens.
I just don't see that coming. The problem with Microsoft, and it was the same problem they have with the Xbox 360, is there's just so many games that are like, oh, look, this is Gears 4, this is Halo 5, this is Forza Horizon 3. Like, there's numbers on the end of every game. They don't try new things. They don't buy studios to try new things, you know? And I feel like that's one of my biggest problems. Like, they don't make new games. Everything's a sequel. You know, this is guaranteed us money because that's how Microsoft is. Sony's more likely to be like, ah, fuck it. Let's make a remaster of the Crash Bandicoot games. You know, like, Microsoft doesn't do that. Like, I can't name, new IPs that came out on Xbox. ReCore, dog shit. Quantum Break, dog shit. Like, I mean, they've tried and it hasn't worked out, and they're not going to keep trying. I just don't think they're going to keep trying. I mean, and I'm not, Quantum Break isn't dog shit, but by what the hype was for that game, it's dog shit. Like, it's better than the Order 1886, which is a shit game. But the Quantum Break that they pitched wasn't the Quantum Break we got. And ReCore is actually dog shit. That's a bad game. I played the demo for it, and because I was thinking about buying it on Black Friday, and I was like, this game sucks. It doesn't even play well. Looks ugly. It's short. You know, and that game, when it was announced, it looked like this amazing new IP from KJ Inafune. People are super hyped. Comes out, and it's not good. So, I mean, you know, say what you want about The Last Guardian, but that game was super duper hyped and actually was a good game. It has problems, but it was at least what people expected. People were saying, oh, wow, this feels like the sequel to Shadow of the Colossus and Ico. You know, people were looking at Quantum Break and like, oh, this doesn't feel anything like Alan Wake.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, and this could be a bold prediction, but the Team Ico that made Last Guardian, whether they stay together or they split up, you know, because a lot of people are saying Last Guardian is a special game. We're never going to have another game like Last Guardian, even despite its problems. I feel like their next project is going to be something really special. Maybe it's one of them things where, like, every other game is just that good, you know? Because, like, Ico, for example, on the PS2, was a very mediocre game. It was short. It was a puzzle. It was like an escort puzzle game, basically. You're escorting the girl through the different mazes and the puzzles and stuff. It looked pretty for its time. Then Shadow of the Colossus came out, and you gotta think now, for its time.
I never played it at the time, so
I still think it's a great game because I'm big into retro games. I don't mind, you know, like I like taking a walk on the nostalgia side. But Shadow of the Colossus was a fantastic game. It was highly acclaimed. It was awesome. It was epic. It was gorgeous. It was, you know, yeah, I think this is PS2 era. Like, that game was very mind-blowing at the time. And then we waited 10 years for Last Guardian. We know how that turned out.
It's not by any means a bad game, like Colin was saying. I remember Colin Moriarty of Kind of Funny was like, oh, this game is not going to be good.
Well, I mean, that was all conjecture because the game hadn't even come out yet. But still, like, okay, the game, let's just say the game's good. Okay. I feel like that this team is going to make something great in the future. That's just my bold prediction. Whether they make it for Sony Interactive or they split up and do their own thing, I feel like it's, you know, they're really going to learn from their mistakes this time and make something great next time. That's just how I feel.
I love when people try new things and they make good games. You know, that's the thing. We have good games, but when we have, like, something new and different and it's a good game, it just feels better. Like, I guarantee you, yeah, the day Horizon Zero Dawn comes out, it's gonna feel good that that game's out because it's a brand new IP, a brand new character, and just an awesome world with a lot of stuff going on. And it's gonna be, you know, a new Sony mascot. And I think even Knack 2, when that game comes out, because that's a new franchise they created for PlayStation 4. And obviously the first one wasn't very good, but if the second one is actually good, that game's gonna be great. Like, it's gonna be awesome to have, you know, a exclusive platforming game on PS4. Because, you know, obviously Yooka-Laylee looks awesome, but the thing is, Yooka-Laylee isn't an exclusive. But if you have something, you know, high quality, like a Crash Bandicoot or a Ratchet & Clank that's, you know, exclusive to PlayStation, I think it goes a long way. I understand people don't like platforming games that much, but platforming games still have a special place in my heart because I grew up, you know, around the time when 3D platformings were becoming, you know, the thing.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I grew up with the 2D platformers too, you know, like from the very first Mario. But when we hit the 3D realm, when like Mario 64 and Crash, Banjo-Kazooie and Crash Bandicoot, like those games still hold a special place in my heart as well. So I'm really excited to see, you know, how Yooka-Laylee does. But if you're listening to the show and you're outraged at our Xbox comments, please take them with a grain of salt, because like we want to see Microsoft succeed. We want to see Xbox do
well. We
want
to see games succeed. That we're not here to hate on games because we're hating on games. We're hating on games because we want better stuff. We want good games. You know, we want good stuff to come out from everyone. We always want something fun to play. Like, that's the thing. You have to think about it this way. You know, most people who play games generally play games because they're like, well, I'm tired from work or it's been a long day. I just want to hang out and play video games. And I'm going to come home and play some trash. That's not good for me. I don't want to do that. I want to come home and play trash. I want to come home and play something awesome. And the more we criticize games as gamers, instead of being like, well, you know, it's not very good, but, you know, it'll do, then they're going to keep making trash. You know, like, Call of Duty multiplayer is trash, and that game's not selling well, which is good, because maybe they'll go back to making good Call of Duty multiplayer. You know, the single player is great, right? But people don't buy those games for the single player, they buy it for the multiplayer. And, you know, every Call of Duty has had at least a good single player. Granted, Ghost is the worst, Black Ops 3 is probably the second worst, but each one has still had some sort of fun single player. But the multiplayer has progressively gotten worse. You know, Advanced Warfare was alright, but Black Ops 3 wasn't very good, and I don't think Infinite Warfare multiplayer was very good. And people are starting to say with their wallets, you know, this game isn't good, this isn't what we want. If we begin to say, you know, every game is good in its own way, you know, yeah, of course it is, but you have to criticize games and tell people what's wrong. If people didn't say what was wrong with the original Watch Dogs, Watch Dogs 2 would have never happened. And Watch Dogs 2 is one of the best games this year. So, you know, that's the thing, is like, you can call us haters all you want, but the thing is like, we're here to tell you what we think of games, and hopefully tell the people who make games what we think of their games, so they can continue to make better games. You know, we want everyone to have good games. We want there to be good Xbox games, good PlayStation games, and good Nintendo games. And that's just not what happens all the time. We don't live in a world of sunshine and rainbows.
That's the thing, too. You know, and I think that eventually it's got to get through to some of these companies like Nintendo, right? Because there are so many diehard Nintendo fans that are outraged at Nintendo's direction right now. And I can't blame them, you know? Like, I had a discussion a while back on Facebook, this was probably 6-7 months ago now, about Nintendo, you know, in a couple paragraphs or less. Like, I was venting, rather. And I had people getting on there saying, well, you know, why are you hating on Nintendo? Nintendo's innovative, Nintendo's fun, and I thought you were a Nintendo fan. It's like, I am a Nintendo fan. But my issue with Nintendo is, you know, they have the money to have better hardware to be able to compete and be able to entice gamers to buy their systems, but they don't, because they're making so much money off the 3DS. And let's be honest, the 3DS don't have wallet-breaking hardware in them, but they, you know, they're making a killing off of like Pokemon games and Yo-Kai Watch and whatever. I don't even know if Yo-Kai Watch is on 3DS, I'm just saying. But they're making a killing off stuff like this, and they're getting away with it because we buy it, right? And look at all the people that are buying amiibos. Like, I had posted a picture of that Zelda amiibo on Facebook last night, and there are people out there that collect amiibos and don't even own a Wii U because it's Nintendo and they love the characters of Nintendo.
What the fuck do amiibos do? Like, they don't do fucking anything.
They don't do anything. And that's the thing. Like, my cousin brought his Wii U over one night. We played Smash. We had a blast. And he had a Zelda Wii U from, it was actually the Zelda Wii amiibo from Smash 4. Puts it on the little pad and it loads his character, and it was like a level 10 or something. It's just like computer player, and it's got all these jacked up stats, and computer proceeded to beat the living crap out of us. I'm like, what does this even do? He's like, oh, you load your stats on there. It's like a little memory card for each individual character. I'm like, Ricky, that's stupid. That's dumb. It looks cool. Now, granted, I would pay a little bit of money for a couple of amiibos put on my shelf.
I mean, I collect Funko Pops, and they don't do anything. Yeah. But the thing is, amiibos are way more expensive than Funko Pops, and they don't do anything.
Yeah, there's a 8-bit Link amiibo. I think it looks awesome. It looks from the original Zelda. It's $24 at Walmart. And I'm like, why?
I have the 8-bit Mario. I got it off of GameStop, I think. Just because Mario.
Yeah, yeah. But this is $24.
Yeah, that's insane.
I think the most expensive thing I have, it's a little Goku statue. It's about 10 inches tall. I bought it at this lady at the flea market for 20. You know, like, that's about the most I've spent on this stuff. And, like, it can get out of hand, you know? But my point is, like, people are buying this stuff because they love Nintendo and they want to support Nintendo. But at the same time, they're frustrated with Nintendo because of the direction that they're going in, like, the console world, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying that the Switch is their last hurrah. And I agree with that.
I think so, too.
If the Switch fails, we could be looking at Nintendo on our PS4.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have a problem with that. If you can tell me I could play Zelda Breath of the Wild on my PS4 Pro, I'm down. Totally.
Me too.
Totally yep. down. Get a few trophies, have a blast, be able to share my gameplay. And that's my thing, too. Is like, is the Switch going to come out and have the ability to stream? Is it going to come out and have the ability to share your gameplay to go on social media? Like, is it going to have this stuff, you know? And I know the Wii U had stuff like YouTube and stuff. Like, they were starting to kind of get that stuff. But like, come on. Come on. Get with the times. And that's my frustration. But hats off to PS4 for being top selling console once again.
Killing the game. Killing the game.
Well, I was gonna say earlier. Yeah. Don't hate the player. Hate the game. If you're listening to the show, we greatly appreciate it. If you're an Xbox fan, take everything we say with a grain of salt. Write into us. Let us know what Xbox games you're excited for. Maybe there's some Xbox games that we've completely overlooked. That's fine. Email us, let us know.
Yeah, seriously, I'd love to know, you know, tell us what you think. I mean, the thing was, my problem was, you know, Xbox tried with exclusives and, you know, they made that one game, the Sunset Overdrive, and I don't think that game's great, but I think it's an alright game. But then the last two new IPs they've made are, you know, trash. So, you know, I don't know if they're going to continue to even try with new IPs. I'd love to see them try with new IPs because you have to keep trying or you're never going to make anything good. You know, and you have to learn from your mistakes. The company, you know, and that's the thing, is like, they don't make any game that's exclusive from just them. Like, ReCore was made by Kenji Inafune. Quantum Break, that was their studio, the one who made Alan Wake. But that's the thing, is like, that studio is so inconsistent. They make Alan Wake, and then they make Alan Wake the American Dream, and that game's not good. And then they make Quantum Break, and that's not good. So it's like, you know, inconsistencies. You got to have someone like a Naughty Dog who is ready to, you know, do whatever it takes to make something good.
Right. Yeah. Even if it takes 80-hour work weeks.
Yeah, seriously, I'm down to wait as long as it takes for Last of Us 2 to be amazing. And I can't wait to see what their, you know, the company, the studio that works on the Uncharted games, I can't wait to see what they do next. Because their next IP will be something special, I'm sure.
And that was kind of the thing with you know, Assassin's Creed. I used to be a big Assassin's Creed fan, but after a while, like, they started releasing them yearly. I was like, okay.
Well, that's why they took a break, and then they're releasing that movie, and that movie looks like it's going to be pretty cool. It's got a big star-studded cast. I actually really want to see that movie. I hope it's good. And I really like that universe, but I want a better game than what we got the last few times. So if they need to take a break to make a better game, then, you know, that's fine. You know? I'd rather see that game be nominated for Game of the Year and be a phenomenal game than just be another one of those things. So, real quick before we go, next week, I said at the beginning of the show, I'll say it again now, next week we're going to have our Game of the Year spectacular before we take 2 weeks off for New Year's and Christmas. It's going to be a little longer, and we're going to discuss all the topics, and all the winners, we'll announce them on there. Also, make sure you go on the Facebook page and you check out our pin post that has the Game of the Year, same nominees, same categories that we'll be talking about on the podcast, but you get to vote. And the listeners, whoever vote the listeners choose is the one we'll announce on January 1st as voted by the listeners of the podcast. So make sure you put your input on there, so everyone knows what the listeners think and how wrong we are, or how wrong you guys are and how right we are, you know? No one's ever right or wrong, right?
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, this has been The Good, The Bad, and The Microtransactions. Be sure to contact provengamer.com and check us out and support them. In doing so, you'll be supporting us. You can call Proven Gamer at 330-PROVEN9. That's 330-776-8369. Proven Gamer is looking for help with the site. Whether you do videos, you do articles, you want to help do press releases, if you have podcasts you want to put on the site, contact us. You can email the show at gbm@provengamer.com. You can find us on Twitter at gbmpodcast. I'm on Twitter at pregfrosty. The Outlaw Nate Nelson is on Twitter at godlyfatality. Be sure you go check that out and follow us. We'd greatly appreciate that. And leave us a review on iTunes. Don't forget that. We will read your review on the show. But this has been The Good, The Bad, The Microtransactions. Signing off, reminding you to stick to your guns.
Take it easy, you varmints.